Hey everybody, producer Dave here. I am not really good at making these things that go before the podcast, but here goes. We're going to try it anyway. What I want everybody to do is check out our other shows. We have The Intellectual Dollar Tree. You can find that on any of your podcatchers. It's great. You can also find it on YouTube. Also want you to check out the Thursday Night Scientology stream. You got to check out Down Ballot. Check out Catterday. Check out everything we're doing. Go to echoplexmedia.com. Sign up for our Twitch at twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. If you have a few bucks to spare, sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/echoplex. Enjoy the show.
So please excuse my sarcastic tone. I'm a bit underwhelmed by the sample show now. Mr. Pistro, fraternity guy, you cup of asshole, bloodshot eyes. Get drunk and fight every night. Idolize Bradley, belittle women's rights. Homophobic, racist, and don't give a fucking hey. Do you think you can drive a bigger truck? So wear your baseball cap and decide to let everyone know that you're a nice guy. So cool, we're so impressed. Lots of chicks and a barrel chest. Cause you're a real man. Punch for punch, gonna piss in your face while you're passed out drunk. Well, I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. He's a nice. A nice guy who speaks through his fists. Prick with a penchant for messing with heads. A broken nose for dinner and breakfast in bed. Alcoholic, paranoid, and suicidal too. But you're probably kill her before she gets away from you. Swears in a pool of blood and cry. All your friends say that you're a nice guy. Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Tomatoes, I'll pack your bags. Bury you with my cash, redhead guy. I'm a nice guy.
Everybody, welcome to the Plex. Welcome, podcast listeners. We do the show live on Twitch every Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific and beyond in a red light. Head on over to twitch.tv/echoplexmedia to give us a follow. And type Echoplex Media into your podcatcher and you'll find a couple other podcasts you should check out. Particularly the Intellectual Dollar Tree. That's our most popular show around here, at least on the podcatchers. And maybe it'll piss you off. Maybe you'll like it. Who knows?
You can support this project at patreon.com/echoplex or by giving bits or subscribing on Twitch, or there's other ways on our website to support us. Just click the little support us thing on the hamburger menu because everybody's on their phone. I'm producer Dave. You can find me damn near anywhere. I'm flying solo tonight. Historian Matt and the Media Wench are both out on adventures, but that's okay. I have the chat with me and I have a great story list. And the next thing I have is what the people want.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice the weather, the traffic, the time, and the news. How's your commute? What do you do? Sorry I'm late, I kept hitting snooze. It's just one of those days. You know what they say. It is what it is. Ignorance is bliss. When it rains, it pours. Couldn't ask for more. What goes around comes around, all in good time. I guess that your guess is as good as mine.
Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine and it's great. Thanks. Everything's fine and everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice day.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine and everything's fine. I hope you have a real nice day.
All right, so we're going to hit the docket here. First story is Marjorie Taylor Greene. She had to, go to the Holocaust Museum to figure out that wearing a mask is not actually the same thing as the Holocaust. And here she is, apologizing, which is kind of weird. It's been a weird news week.
Always want to remind everyone, I'm very much a normal person, and I think it's a...
Wow, this is really quiet. Hold on, I have to step on this a little bit here. Sorry about that, everybody. I had no idea how awful and quiet this clip would be.
Important for me. Always want to remind everyone, I'm very much a normal person, and I think it's important for me to always be transparent and honest. And I just want to tell you all, I'm really, really lucky. I was blessed with amazing parents. And my dad just passed away in April. But I will say he taught me some great things. And one of the best lessons that my father always taught me was when you make a mistake, you should own it. And I have made a mistake, and it's really bothered me for a couple of weeks now. And so I definitely want to own it. This afternoon, I visited the Holocaust Museum. The Holocaust is, there's nothing comparable to it. It happened, and, you know, over 6 million Jewish people were murdered. More than that, there were not just Jewish people, black people, Christians, all kinds of children, people that the Nazis didn't believe were good enough or perfect enough. And
that's a little bit of an understatement. The Nazis didn't think they were people, at Marjorie. A lot of them did not think that a lot of those were actually people.
Holocaust or something that some people don't even believe happened, and some people deny, but there is no comparison to the Holocaust. And there are words that I have said, remarks that I've made that I know are offensive. And for that, I want to apologize. And I am just fine and very glad to be able to come out here and do that because I believe it's important. in a way where if we've messed up, it's very important for us to say we're sorry. And
yo, that audio was super scuffed. It was like that audio sounded like every other leftist YouTube stream. It was windy though. It was hard to hear, but like, yo, she like compared having to wear a mask to being like a victim of the Holocaust. And then like she had to like go visit a whole ass museum just to like figure out that that was stupid. Okay, whatever. I mean, I guess it's good that she apologized. This is the first time for everything. Marjorie Taylor Greene should be removed from office though. Even like a Republican I don't agree with would be far better for our country to have as a representative. She needs to be voted out of office next time around. So that was something. Here's a Fox News. They think that the left has somehow canceled Tom Hanks, which is weird. Because the last time I saw anybody trying to cancel Tom Hanks, it was actually the QAnon people. They were suggesting that he was wearing an ankle monitor because he'd been arrested for human trafficking or whatever. Man, and this website is scuffed. Oh, here we go. It's going to work. So here we go. Yeah. Oh, man. Look at that.
You've been following this Tom Hanks story, right? I mean, he wrote a piece. Wrote an essay. Eric Deegans, I think that's his name. He's a writer for NPR.
Deegans.
Here's what he says. He says Tom Hanks is a non-racist. It's time for him to be an anti-racist.
Oh, shit. Canceled.
Here's a paragraph, all right? It's wonderful that Hanks stepped forward to advocate for teaching about a race-based massacre, but it's not enough. Apparently, Hanks wrote about Tulsa. He's built a career playing righteous white men. He's a baby boomer star who's built a sizable part of his career on stories about American white men doing the right thing. If he really wants to make a difference, Hanks and other stars need to talk specifically about how their work has contributed to these problems and how they will change. End quote. Joe.
Huh. Boy, Tom Hanks has some audacity building his iconic career out of playing, get this, Bill, a white guy. And now NPR.
Oh my God, Fox News is so pathetic. It's like
now condensed him literally.
Like just memes. Come on.
Urging for more focus.
Must have been a slow news day.
In schools across America on the Tulsa massacre. And the writer of this piece, Eric Deegans, you mentioned before, he's now playing the victim on social media. He's complaining about being bullied and insulted because he wrote this piece, because it's so profoundly stupid. He deserves all the criticism that he gets. And here's the thing, though, Bill. For NPR and Deegans and perpetual protesters, no matter what Tom Hanks does, it will never be enough. He supports more than three dozen charities, Hanks does, from military
so
vets, he's famously
he has so much damn money.
Movies with Band of Brothers, but also women's empowerment or children's health care and fighting cancer and diabetes. But no, for one guy from NPR, he isn't doing enough to make the world a better place. How's that working out right now?
Well, if he was looking for attention, he's getting it. Apparently, he's proud of what he wrote. He did an interview and said he stands by it. But being white in America has its... has apparently
how do you finish this sentence, Bill?
A lot of pitfalls.
Please
from
stop. Apparently.
One white guy to another. Joe Concha, will talk to you later in the
week.
What do
you think their combined salary is?
I'm more Spanish than anything, but I hear you, man. Yeah. Right, have a good one.
To my white co-anchor.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You remember that that math teacher from the Midwest that Tom Hanks played? It was such a righteous white guy that he was a hero in World War II. Or the guy who was a man in the body of a little kid who made toys.
Okay, this is too much. This lady know that's not actually Tom Hanks, that these are characters that I can't watch anymore of this.
I hope he...
Like, literally, she's like, do you remember when he played these characters that were good people? Tom Hanks seems like an okay guy, actually. Like, I think the person in The New Yorker, I don't know. Maybe they want him to do more. Maybe he will do more. Who knows? But, like, nobody canceled him. That article was, like, very mildly critical. And not everybody on the left even agreed with it. Tom Hanks, not canceled. I'm in charge of cancel culture, and Tom Hanks is not canceled. Yeah, fiction, how does it work? Yeah, that I had to stop it once his co-host started like talking about all the characters he played. He was also stranded on an island. One time he fucked a mermaid. Like, those are characters. So Sarah Huckabee Sanders is running for governor of Arkansas, and it looks like she has a pretty strong challenger now. It's a guy named Chris Jones. And here's his ad. It's a pretty good political ad.
To me, there's never been a conflict between science and faith. I'm a physicist. I'm also an ordained minister. Now imagine that this stole represents time. Not just my lifetime, but my ancestors and my children. As a Christian, I thank God every day for that time. As a physicist, I know that time is also relative. And with the right amount of energy, you can bend it and be anywhere. My ancestors labored in the soil of rural Arkansas, making my three daughters eighth generation Arkansans. By the 1940s, my pawpaw Jesse Tarns, with his third grade education, was driving a truck he couldn't afford to own. But by the 1980s, he was helping me set up my own business. His legacy was entrepreneurship and hard work.
3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
Some lessons were tougher than others. That moment, something opened up in me, a world of science and sacrifice, service and exploration. I knew then that I wanted to be an astronaut. I didn't know that being deaf in my right ear would keep me from flying. 10 years later, I accepted a full NASA scholarship, and my life changed forever. I went to Morehouse College for physics and math, and MIT for nuclear engineering, and a PhD in urban planning. And along the way, God just blessed me. My wife is Dr. Geraldine Jones. She's an Air Force veteran and ER doc. She's my partner and an incredible mom to our girls. And I love being a girl dad. I was also blessed to run the Arkansas Regional Innovation Hub, where we gave access to the tools and technology that Arkansans need to build businesses and create jobs. Arkansas is ready for a big leap forward, but we need the right leaders. The last few years have shown just how easy it is to slip back in time. So that's why I'm running for governor. Taking Arkansas into the future requires improving education opportunities from cradle to career, enhancing infrastructure from bridges to rural broadband, and making available every tool Arkansans need to build businesses and healthy families. It's about living up to our potential. It's about living out our values. It's about working hard together. And my fellow Arkansans, it's about time.
That was a really good ad. Man, I hope that guy wins, but that's Arkansas, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders is probably going to win, but that was a good fucking ad. Yeah, that's a Democrat running against Sarah Huckabee Sanders in Arkansas. The party affiliation and the party breakdown of who's registered and what there. It's not looking good for that guy. Plus other factors we might consider that could be in play in Arkansas. Just a thought. So I'm going to skip a few stories here because there's too many here. Somebody at the Mike Lindell's been having these rallies for his Frank speech social media platform. His Frank speech social media platform barely fucking works too. It took me a while, but I was able to get an account. I haven't used it yet, but if we ever need some real crazy on stream, we can check out what's trending on Mike Lindell's platform. But here, this is an interview somebody's conducting. It's from MidasTouch.com. They're conducting an interview, quick interview with the man on the street. So this one's about vaccines, and it's pretty fucking funny.
You are State Senator Mark Horan out of Senate District 32, Chisago and Isani Counties.
So you saw Trump speak about vaccines.
Yep.
And his vaccine rollout, and he, as a businessman, he really got it out there quickly.
The one thing President Trump did with the vaccine rollouts, much like you did with everything else, he's a problem solver. It just wasn't a job for him. He's a problem solver. And so he got everybody together and said, make it happen.
Yeah.
Remove the bureaucratic government obstacles so private sector can do what they do best. Creative, ingenious, and productive and efficient. And that's what they did. The only reason there's a vaccine out there today.
So are you getting the vaccine?
No, I'm not.
So he like just heaped praise on Donald Trump for making the vaccine happen. But he's an anti-vaxxer, so he's not actually going to get the vaccine like this. It's so funny. Oh, that's so funny. I love that shit. I love that shit. So, Media Wench keeps trying to fire Tucker Carlson, but she ain't here tonight. So we're going to do a Tucker Carlson clip. He's going to float what amounts to a false flag conspiracy theory about the insurrection on January 6th.
But strangely, some of the key people who participated on January 6th have not been charged. Look at the documents. The government calls those people unindicted co-conspirators. What does that mean? Well, it means that in potentially every single case, they were FBI operatives.
What?
Really? In the Capitol on January 6th.
What?
For example, one of those unindicted co-conspirators is someone government documents identify only as Person 2. According to those documents, Person 2 stayed in the same hotel room as a man called Thomas Caldwell, an insurrectionist, a man alleged to be a member of the group, the Oath Keepers. Person 2 also, quote, stormed the barricades at the Capitol on January 6th alongside Thomas Caldwell. The government's indictments further indicate that Caldwell, who, by the way, is a 65-year-old man,
okay,
this dangerous insurrectionist, was led to believe there would be a, quote, quick reaction force also participating on January 6th. That quick reaction force, Caldwell was told, would be led by someone called Person 3, who had a hotel room and an accomplice with him. But wait, here's the interesting thing. Person 2 and Person 3 were organizers of the riot. The government knows who they are, but the government has not charged them.
Yo, he's about to say that those were FBI agents, that the FBI fucking planned the fucking thing on January 6th. Yo, he's going to do it. But why they don't release their names is because they're probably still investigating them. And they don't...
Man. Why is that? You know why. They were almost certainly working for the FBI.
Wait, what?
So FBI operatives were organizing the attack on the Capitol.
Like, he just said that without any evidence because they don't have names on a government document. Because instead of the names being redacted or whatever, they're just calling them Person 1 or Person 2. So now anytime we don't know who the fuck anyone is in a government document, it must just be the FBI making everybody do all the crime. Listen, the FBI does that. They definitely engage in entrapment. There's no fucking question about it. But to jump to the conclusion that any given case where there's like a conspiracy investigation happening, not a conspiracy theory, but an investigation about a conspiracy, if you just assume that anyone who isn't named in the document you've seen is the FBI, and I guess the FBI are doing all the crime, all the conspiracy.
On January 6th, according to government documents.
No. Also, oh, there's so much wrong with this. They're just not naming the other two co-conspirators in the document. That's just all. They're just not naming them. Don't know why. Not an expert on that shit.
And those two are not alone. In all, Revolver News reported that there are, quote, upwards of 20 unindicted co-conspirators in the Oath Keeper indictments.
Okay.
All playing various roles in the conspiracy who have not been charged for virtually the exact same activities. And in some cases, much, much more severe activities as those named alongside them in the indictments. Huh?
Huh?
So it turns out that this white supremacist insurrection was, again, by the government's own admission in these documents, organized at least in part by government agents. Are you shocked? We're shocked. We shouldn't.
There's no evidence that it was organized by government agents. The thing that he's, again, he's just conflating, undercover agents with people who are not named in government documents, and those are not the same group of people. Sometimes it's the two groups that cross over, sure. I don't know if law enforcement infiltrated any of these groups, but just because we don't have the names of them doesn't mean they're all fucking feds. That's pretty stupid.
Because in March, the FBI director admitted that the Bureau is infiltrating as many dissident groups that oppose the regime as it possibly can.
Yo, this is absolutely, like, that's bonkers. That's crazy town. That's like Alex Jones stuff right there, saying that, like, oh, it basically called it a false flag, said it was organized by the government to push an agenda that Trump's people are violent or whatever. That's like the claim that he's making. He didn't just straight up say that, but that's the claim that's being made. And if there's one thing I know what the fuck it is when I see it, it's a conspiracy theory. So I've been fucking making fun of and to some extent hopefully debunking conspiracy theories for like 10 years on the internet, 5 years of podcasting, 2 years on Twitch, maybe a little more than 2 years now. But yeah, it's just a conspiracy theory. And then, oh, here we go, here's old fucking Louis Gohmert. It's gonna push the fucking same exact ass conspiracy theory that Tucker Carlson's pushing, but he's gonna push it on the House floor.
Yep. So if there were federal agents that were involved on January 6th, we really need to know what the FBI knew and when they knew it. And not only that, we need to know how much participation did any of our federal friends, either at DOJ, FBI, or any of the intel community, what kind of role were they playing? Because there's information that came out about the effort to kidnap the Michigan governor, and there were federal agents. So it's been said there were federal agents that were involved in that.
Okay. Yeah, the people who tried to kidnap the governor got busted by undercover agents because they were talking about it on the internet because they're fucking stupid. And I don't know, maybe there were undercover agents fucking floating around before this thing that happened on January 6th, because they were sure talking about it on Facebook. There were fucking ads for Charlie Kirk's buses to take you there on Facebook. So, like, everybody was talking about it on Facebook. Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. So, like, that's how these people are getting, like, caught. But, again, every person not named in all these documents, the odds that every one of them fucking people is an undercover is just, it's so slim. Like, it's such a, like, an impossible thing almost. It's not impossible, but it's so highly improbable that to just come out and say that that must be what it is. Tucker must know what he's doing. And I think Louis Gohmert's probably pretty dumb and doesn't know what he's doing, but Tucker must know what he's doing. Well, here's a Newsmax panel on how the people who were arrested for the events on January 6th, they're political prisoners. Like Gandhi.
Andrea, Ray's remarks also come as some government documents reportedly suggesting government agents could have helped organize the riots. This according to the paperwork reference in a piece on Revolver News, reporting that there are, quote, upwards of 20 unindicted co-conspirators. It begs the question, who are these unindicted co-conspirators? And then the other question, why are there dozens of U.S. citizens still in jail? Andrea.
Yeah, well, I found it incredibly disturbing that the head of our FBI couldn't clearly answer the question of the 500 people that were arrested. How many of them were people that actually didn't even know they were doing anything wrong because the Capitol Police opened the doors to the public and actually waved people in? Christopher Wray, if he was competent, would have been able to answer that question with specifics. Why is he hiding that information? And then you've got Democrat Congress people upset that anybody's even asking about those individuals. You know, I don't think it's hyperbolic to say that we have political prisoners in the United States of America where people are being held for trespassing, many of which you didn't even know they did anything wrong, in solitary confinement and denied bail. That's outrageous, and it should be outrageous to everybody in this country. What all 500 are clearly guilty of, in my opinion, is being Trump supporters, and that ultimately is what this is about.
What?
It's about pushing a narrative. They've actually got a name
but
for it.
But tons of people who voted for Trump didn't get arrested for this.
Terrorism to the MAGA movement.
Well,
yo, that's stupid. Like, hella people voted for Trump and aren't in jail. The only people who got busted on this are the people who went in and, like, stormed the Capitol. I don't know. Did some of them get caught up in the moment and not mean any harm and were just there for the gram to get a picture? Sure, but, like, so what? It still, like, shows very poor judgment. And, you know, most of the people I think are just going to get a slap on the wrist if anything happens to them. And I think some of these unindicted co-conspirators they keep talking about are some of the organizers. And I think maybe those are the people who are going to get the bigger sentences. But we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. I just don't think it was a false flag planned by the FBI to take down Donald Trump supporters. That seems a little bit far-fetched to me. Very far-fetched. So up next is a clip from The View. I know how much y'all love The View. Podcast listeners and live listeners, y'all love The View, right? Well, Meghan McCain is going to talk. She's going to tell us, she's going to demonstrate to us that she knows a lot about the G7 in Russia.
Not to mess with our elections and interfere just with our affairs.
Right. Meghan, are you happy to see Biden going over to deal with Putin or have a conversation with him?
No, I don't think that we should be meeting with Putin at all. I think that Russia should be kicked out of the G7, especially while Alexei Navalny is still sitting in a Kremlin prison for, you know, being just an absolute freedom fighter seeking democracy and freedom in Russia. The meeting for me it's almost pointless because President Biden already signaled in May when he withheld the sanctions against the Nord Stream pipeline, which is a pipeline from Germany through Russia, where Russia and the Kremlin now have complete control over the natural gases between Russia and Germany. And it's a huge, huge, huge coup geopolitically for Russia. And they're going to have control over oil and gas in most of the EU. And this was something that had bipartisan disagreement.
Yo, Russia isn't part of the G7, and I think she's gonna get called on that right here. Russia, that it used to be the G8 until Russia got kicked out.
Work and came prepared for this.
Right, Joy. Well, for you, how is it looking and feeling as you watch this play out today?
Well, since I'm not an expert on Russian international information, but I do know one thing, and that is that Putin was kicked out of the G8, which is why it is now the G7. He is not in the G7 at this point. So this is outside of the G7.
That's correct. Okay. That was my mistake. Sorry, that was my mistake, right. Joy. I'm very sick. I apologize. You're right.
That's fine. I'm happy to correct you. So... I think it's refreshing to see a president who's taking a firm hand as opposed
to. Okay, and then she's going to go on and fucking spew about how great Biden is for taking a firm hand by, like, basically not doing anything. But yeah, dude, Meghan McCain should not be, like, making any. Like, she shouldn't be, like, giving you commentary about the world around us because she. I'm sure she's a nice person, but she knows very little about the world around us, and she's only on this show because of who her father was. And there are plenty of other conservative women out there who could be on this show. So we've been doing a lot of public comment lately on this show, a lot of school board meetings, city council meetings, county board of supervisors meetings, and it's always been bad. So I figure we're going to do a good public comment for a change. This will be our palate cleanser for the evening.
Good evening, board members. My name is Melanie Moore. I am the parent of a third and fourth grader in District 2, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak with you this evening. The issue I would like to address is the need for equitable education in all areas. But first, I'd like to share a little something personal. I struggle with depression. I have for many years. I've gone to counselors throughout the years, and one of the first things they ask me is, tell me about your family of origin. Tell me about your past. What happened to you in your past that is causing the current trauma and pain that you're feeling. In the same way, our country cannot begin to heal until we deal with the pain, trauma, and hurt from our past. We must teach our children the truth about the past and then show them how to be the change we wish to see in the world. We can help them connect the dots from the awful events of the past to the current issues that face our country so that real change can happen. As members of the white community, we have got to stop pushing the agenda that diversity and truth in education is all about indoctrination, shaming, or placing guilt at the feet of white people. No one is asking you to get up and place your head on the chopping block for the wrongs of the past. People are simply asking for their stories to be heard and taught as ours have been for generations. I would not allow my children to wallow in anger, pain, and self-pity. I would do all I could to help them to be the very best versions of themselves, even if it hurts to point out some painful truths about their behavior. In the same way, we have got to be honest with ourselves and admit that systemic racism is real, that this country was created and prospered under the ideals of white supremacy, and that we are responsible for righting the wrongs of our forefathers. We did not create this mess, but we are the ones that have to clean it up, starting with honest, equitable education practices now that will teach our children the hard truths about our past so that they can create a better future. I understand that change is hard, but it's got to come. Racism is alive and well in this country. It's seen in the groups of white men with torches chanting, "You will not replace us," to the fact that in 2021, we still don't have a federal anti-lynching hate crime law. We need to know better, and then we need to do better. Happy Pride, happy early Juneteenth.
So Sammy did point out she could have been wearing a mask, although the mask mandates have been lifted in a lot of the United States. So we've been watching so many people go up and throw a fit about critical race theory and having like just even just one clip of somebody who can like put a few sentences together pretty well and just oppose them and be like, no, we just need to teach the truth about our history to our kids so that our kids can be better. Like, that's great. That's great. I'm glad we got a good public comment for a change, because usually the public comments we play on this are pretty bad. The next clip is Tucker. He's going to have Charles Murray on. And before they arranged this interview, they were like, well, whose calipers are we going to use? We're going to have to measure each other's fucking skulls before this. Whose calipers are we going to use? So here's Tucker. They're going to talk about race and IQ.
What I do know is that, I mean, I'm speculating here, but you seem like a very moderate person. You're often described as a radical. Mm. But whenever in those rare occasions I've read you write about yourself, your own views and your life, rather than just pure social science, you seem very center right, as you said, not a radical at all. And yet you are treated as a radical, big time. And I want to play this one of many examples, but this was the reception you got at Middlebury College in 2017, where one of your
You're going to play this again?
When you tried to give a speech. I think we have a short clip of that.
Looks like the marketplace of ideas to me. Yeah, it's not lost on me that he does this show from a wooden room, right?
So I guess the upside is you're not a politician, you're not a demagogue, you're basically an academic. You are an academic, yeah. and a researcher and a social scientist. So at least they're taking ideas seriously. Why are they so mad at you?
Well, race is the third rail, and it always has been, of American politics. Nobody wants to talk about differences in races, you know. Nobody wants to believe that there are any differences that cannot be fixed by better education, better nutrition, less poverty, and the rest
of it. Well, wait, let me just ask you to pause there. And by the way, I'd love to, you know, I'd rather not talk about race at all. I don't like the topic.
Shut up.
I hear the opposite, though. I hear what the leaders of the left or whatever this revolutionary movement is called saying is that the differences are so profound that they define us completely. The differences are all that matters. They seem to be emphasizing the differences.
Well, but that's in the context of systemic racism.
Yo, he's talking about race and IQ and that people like think that what he writes about it is racist. Also, he's not like the thing about this. Ezra Klein did a good job of like explaining this when he did the podcast with Sam Harris. You can check that out on the Intellectual Dollar Tree podcast feed or just watch it. Listen to it like by itself. And he said that, you know, when they do that, when they say, oh, you're just an academic, that's not, this guy works for right wing think tanks and he suggests policy. So it's not like he's just like some scientist, like working away at a university or whatever. That's what's not happening. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that about Mr. Murray there. He's not just reading the research. He's definitely works at far right think tanks. So. Up next, we got Bill Maher. We don't play a lot of from the Bill Maher show, but his guest, Nikki Glaser, is a comedian. And she takes my position more or less on cancel culture, and I love her for it. So another clip where I'm more or less going to agree with somebody, which is really weird.
Yes, going back out there is so, I'm so happy about it, but also it carries stress because of this age we live in, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about that, because are you afraid of that? Do you have stress about, well, I want to riff and be the funniest I can be, but I don't want to get canceled?
I was really scared of getting canceled for a while, and then COVID hit and I moved back home with my parents for 10 months, and I realized, like, I've been canceled. Like, that's getting canceled. So if you cancel me, I lived the life that I would have lived had shit hit the fan. And it's not that bad. It was kind of great.
But you knew it was going to end. It was for the rest of your life, back
right.
in the room with the Star Trek wallpaper?
I got out of there eventually, and yes, I don't fear being canceled anymore because I can't live in that state of fear because I just know at my core I'm a good person and I'm not racist, or I try not to be racist. I try my best to not hurt people, but I just know that. So if I get canceled, I'll be at peace with myself, and I'm accountable. I don't mind apologizing.
But if you're doing a roast for...
I don't. I don't have a problem being like, if I see someone get up during my show, because right now I'm working on this like molestation chunk, which is the, but it's, I can do those jokes because I wasn't molested, so I like don't care. But like It's like I can talk about that more freely because I don't have a lot of trauma around it that I remember, right? Like, who knows? It could have happened. I'm in therapy now to dig it out. Let's find it. It would explain a lot. But I'm serious. But it is weird going there because I see people sometimes. I see people get up and go, you know what? I don't want to hear this because obviously something I'm saying is triggering them in a way that's making them have a panic attack. And I think about that and I go, okay, that one person is uncomfortable, but the information that I'm putting out there by talking about it is more important, I think. Even though I'm joking about it, it's still addressing it, and it's talking about how it's a big issue, and everyone's been molested. Besides me.
Then why apologize?
I apologize to that person if they write me and they go, listen, I went to your show wanting to have a good time, and I ended up in the bathroom hyperventilating and crying.
You know
what? I would say, listen, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like, the sorry you feel that way, but I deeply answer. I don't want to cause it. I don't like to offend people. It's really not fun for me.
No, but, okay, I don't want to get eaten by a shark, but I go in the ocean.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're going to watch, you're a known commodity now.
But if a shark bit me, I'm not kidding you, Bill. Like, if I got attacked by a shark and I punched it in the face and they killed the shark in retaliation, I would feel bad. I would want to find that shark and be like, I know you were just being you.
Listen.
Like, you were just doing, like, I'm sorry, I would punch it, but I would feel bad that it felt bad.
Okay, well, I'm glad you brought this up because you're on, what a perfect segue. You're on my Hawaiian tour this year.
Yeah.
We're doing New Year's Eve together in Hawaii.
Yeah, that is so exciting.
Christopher Kidd Reed, it's going to be an amazing show.
I can't.
Yeah, she tried to take a reasonable position. She's like, I can just apologize. And Bill kept cutting her off because fucking that's not what he wanted to hear, I think. Saying, oh, I can just apologize to people. He didn't want to hear that shit. Because you can do that, actually. Like a real apology and an attempt to change your behavior goes a long way if you did something fucking stupid. That's all I'm saying. Especially in America, we love a good fucking redemption story here. But if you're going to whine about being canceled when people disagree with you and call you an asshole, then nobody really wants your redemption story. So her answer was pretty good to the extent that she was allowed to give it by the host. And I generally agree with her. She's got a good take on it. She's like, I'm going to say some things that are going to offend people. And if they reach out to me, I'll apologize to them. And it's fucking fine. She's going to be fine. Nobody's coming for her. So you're not going to believe this. Charlie Kirk's starting to do commercials. This is so funny.
About red or blue, but all about people making green. We're back in 60 seconds.
About a year ago, I could barely walk down the street or sit in a chair for more than 10 minutes without horrible pain. And now look at me. I'm here to tell you about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that's helping tens of thousands of people, young and old.
So he's selling like homeopathy or something, right? But he's like 30 or something, right? He's young. What does he mean he could barely walk down? I'm going to have to start this over. Like, what was wrong? Was it my fault? I don't know.
About red or blue, but all about people making green. We're back in 60 seconds.
About a year ago, I could barely walk down the street or sit in a chair for more than 10 minutes without horrible pain. And now look at me. I'm here to tell you about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that's helping tens of thousands of people, young and old, to get out and stay out of pain.
I'm 50 years old. I run marathons and I'm also a police officer. With the weight of the vest, my clothing, especially the belt, the getting in and out of the car was terrible for my hips. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio, so I thought, what the heck, I'll try it. So I did,
show or something.
And within 1 week, I was completely out of pain. I really love Relief Factor. It's made a huge difference for me and my quality of life.
I was skeptical too. But I kept hearing all these amazing stories about back, neck, shoulder, hip, and knee pain going away. So I had to give it a try. Maybe you should quit sitting around and live your life. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF.
Oh, man. Is his story arc ending? Because this is like the end of most of these people's story arcs is when they start selling supplements and shit, right? Or like when they start selling a specific supplement as a spokesperson for a company. Like Gorka kind of went away, right? Like we're not doing a lot of Gorka anymore. He kind of went away. And towards the end, he started to sell maybe the same fucking product. It was some like pain relief product that didn't have drugs in it, which means it's like probably homeopathy, some kind of fucking ground up herbs or some shit. Probably like not medicine. And it's actually not helping you, which is why
old man Charlie Kirk can throw that football. I wonder how many times they had to fucking try to film that scene. I'm not saying I'm a jock or whatever. I'm just curious. Well, here's another palate cleanser, I guess. Here's a fabulous celebration of pride by, this is great. This is fucking absolutely great.
Love yourself. Love yourself. Honk if you love yourself. Honk if you love yourself. Honk if you love yourself. They love themselves, do you?
And I have to cut it off there because the guy is going to say something that they're going to call him a name that we can't have on Twitch. But yeah, that I thought that was great because there's a guy out there with the God Hates F sign and somebody just starts dancing on the pole and shit. I thought that was pretty good. So the audit in Arizona is just getting stupider. And we'll do two more stories before we go into the post game here. We'll do two more stories before the post game. And in this case, well, I guess they moved the counting to like a fucking cabin in the woods, like they're the univoters.
We've been following that so-called audit in Phoenix, more than 2 million votes from the 2020 presidential election. The ballot examiners project they will finish their hand recount by June 26. There's another significant development, which has gone pretty much unreported. The so-called analyzing of some of the votes are being done by a contractor who's taken copies of voting data to a spot in rural Montana. Gary Tuckman has the story.
Watch. On this piece of property in a remote part of Montana, people may at this very minute be analyzing voting data from the state of Arizona.
Using the word analyzing pretty loosely here.
Run by the Cyber Ninjas, a company whose CEO had previously espoused Trump-style election conspiracy theories. What does Montana have to do with all this? Ken Bennett is a spokesman for the audit.
Everything that Cyber Ninjas is doing, they're either doing with their own expertise or the expertise of the people that they're hired.
And a contractor it hired is called Cypher LLC. Bennett says Cypher...
These are all like shell companies set up. Like, this is all just a grift.
...and a truck and have it driven to Montana, where it's being, quote, forensically evaluated in what he described as a secure, powerful laboratory. But nobody
is... A secure, powerful laboratory?
...what it actually means. And Bennett tells us he doesn't know where the so-called lab is. It is apparently a secret.
So as you might expect, we're left wondering where in the state of Montana are the copies of this voting data being analyzed? Where is the secure, powerful lab?
Why did he have to go to the forest to say we don't know where it is?
It's based in Virginia, according to its website. But Cypher was spun off and is a sister company of a company called SciTech. And SciTech, according to its website, is based in Montana. Here we are right now, south of the city of Big Fork. More interestingly, SciTech and Cypher are run by the same exact person. And that person, we're told, is the man who drove in a truck the copies of the voting information from Arizona to Montana. So this property where SciTech, according to the website, is located, also happens to be, according to records, where the CEO lives, his residence. So could the information be here? We could tell you as we walk up here, the first thing you see on this big piece of land is a sign, private property, trespassing for any purpose is strictly forbidden, violators will be prosecuted. So we can't cross this area. We can show you though from this area.
Yeah, this is a pretty good scam though. I got to tell you, they've probably taken in so much money in donations.
Powerful laboratory. Is Arizona voting data inside that cabin? We just don't know, but it could be.
And the defense.
The boss who drove the truck to Montana, according to the audit spokesman, is Ben Cotton, who testified in a special meeting at the Arizona Capitol last month.
I personally have over 25 years of computer forensics and incident response experience.
Does he?
We reached out to Cotton to ask him about what kind of analysis is taking place, and is his lab on his property? He did not respond. So we did some further investigating from the air, and we see that in addition to the building that looks like a cabin, there is on the right a large house in the clearing, and on the left what looks like a barn and perhaps some trailers, but no people. A real estate website shows what appears to be that large house, and it all sits on 155 acres of land. So there is plenty of space here for a lab, and plenty of privacy for
a lab?
You can't make this
Arizona's Democratic Secretary of State.
Yo, what do they mean a lab? They this is all like a bullshit story. The guy didn't drive votes in his truck to, come on.
State says she's very concerned about what's going on nearly 1,300 miles north of Phoenix.
The only kind of lab on that property is going to be a meth lab.
Believe it was happening.
Is there a deadline for finishing this Montana analysis? According to the Arizona audit spokesman, no deadline. When it's done, it's done. So normally, Anderson, when election recounts and audits take place, outside observers are invited. Republican observers, Democratic observers, independent observers, members of the news media. But here in Montana, there's no indication whatsoever of any outside observers. It all seems rather stealthy. Anderson.
Yeah, so much for any transparency. Gary, appreciate it. Up next, a searing reminder that the threat of COVID remains.
Yo, this story is stupid. I can't believe like the regular news is falling for this shit. That you didn't take nothing in a truck anywhere. What are you, a thumb drive? Like, I mean, a hard drive? How much vote information? It's digital. Like, he doesn't, well, I don't know. The internet's there's maybe not so good. Maybe you do put it on like an external hard drive and use the old sneaker net method. But yeah, this is bullshit. I can't believe like regular news is falling for this bullshit. I don't think they should cover this shit. It was kind of funny to send that guy all the way out to the middle of nowhere to go look for a fucking cabin and then see a sign and not get in. And our last story before we go into the post game tonight is going to be, looks like a Hillary Clinton body count conspiracy theories are making a comeback, y'all.
Christopher Sein was found dead over the weekend. And I don't mean to peddle a conspiracy theory. Police say this is a suicide. I'm only here to report to you the news of another name that can be added to the list of suspicious deaths linked to the Clintons. If all these deaths just happen to be a series of unlikely events, then the Clintons and their friends and associates are some of the most unlucky people in the entire world history. We may never know for sure what happened to Alabama reporter Christopher Sein, but one thing is for sure, he will definitely not be the last mysterious death linked to the Clintons. That much you can count on.
Yeah, they're old and they knew a lot of people. So like a lot of people they know are dying now because they're fucking old. And some of the people they met are getting old. That guy, I don't know what happened to him. But how did they know him? Was he invited to the barbecue? Did he just interview her once? Like, what do you mean they're connected? Like, I don't even know what she means connected. But is it the oldest thing? It's like, I remember like I asked my parents what they thought about it and they were like, oh, as we get older, more of our friends are dying. More of our friends and associates are dying too. Cause they're getting older. And I was like, ah, okay, cool. My mom's right about the same age as Hillary Clinton is. That's why all their friends are dying. Cause they're all getting old. Just like fucking Hillary and Bill are. I don't know that guy looked young, but I mean, like he was like a news reporter. What was his connection to Hillary Clinton? Did he like work for her campaign? Like in 2016 or 2008, like, they just say connected. Like, you know how many people worked for her two presidential campaigns in 2008 and then 2016? Like, all those people are connected to her. This is like, this is like Seth Rich, except it's not going to have any legs. Seth Rich had legs because it was like, I don't know, he was a staffer or something, like, at the time. The Vince Foster thing, this is a little bit, but it's not going to do any of that. This one's too stupid. This one's too dumb, and like the connection is probably super tenuous. Like, I bet he like volunteered for her campaign, like knocked on doors, or was like, because maybe he's in media, he did some stuff like comms, like some communication stuff for her campaign, maybe. But do you know how many people fit that description? People die all the time. I don't know, they're connected to people. And if you ran for president twice, there's a lot of people fucking connected to you. It just like, if all their friends started dying of a gunshot to the head, okay. Like their close friends, their like inner circle, okay. Maybe we need to think about that. But just anybody tangentially related to them, don't worry about it. Somebody tangentially related to me probably died in the last week. I don't even know about it. So yeah, it's hopefully it doesn't make a comeback here. But if it does, we're here to cover it because that's our shit is conspiracy theories here. So thanks everybody for listening to the podcast version of the show. Live listeners, stick around. Podcast listeners, if you wonder what happens after the podcast is over here, you can follow us twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. Fun show. Thanks, chat. Welcome all the newbies, by the way. I'm going to play, there's this cool song that somebody sent us. This is called Mechanical Dogs. It's by Phases LM. They're a local band here in the Bay Area. All the music that we play on this show is local bands that have submitted their music for us to play on this show. I'll be back in a few minutes with the lights red here, and I'll have a cocktail.
Strange voices, strange noises from across the yard. Boom breaks the silence of the distant dark. Was it a gunshot or explosive or a firework? A siren screams out unspecified alert. In the distant dark, in the distant dark, I hear the panicked bark. Mechanical dogs, mechanical dogs. In the distant dark, I hear the panicked bark of mechanical dogs, mechanical dogs. In the distant dark, I hear the panicked bark of mechanical dogs.
I hear the panic.